please welcome our Mistress of Ceremonies, Ms. Shelley Kaufler from KERA.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the 2013 inauguration ceremony for our Dallas City Council. I'm Shelley Kaufler. I'm the managing editor and senior reporter for KERA Public Broadcasting. It's really great to see all of you this morning, and I know we want to join in thanking Mary Preston from the Dallas Symphony Orchestra for that beautiful music this morning that brought all of us into the auditorium. It's great to see all of you here this morning, including all of our elected officials and our dignitaries. Many of you know that I have called Dallas home for many years now, and as a journalist, I've covered a lot of political and government stories. I've even written about some of you out there. And I just want to say, City Hall has never failed to provide the journalists of Dallas some pretty good material. I've been very lucky to have covered a number of really important assignments here for politics and government. At KERA, I've helped produce and host the statewide Texas debates. At WFAA-TV, I was the legislative bureau chief. I was able to cover the Capitol on some really important issues like school finance, foster care medication, and transportation. And at KXAS-TV, I got the education of a lifetime by reporting on Dallas City Hall. Who knew that people could become so passionate about potholes and about trash collection? I care about this city very much and believe that's also true of the people we're going to hear from today and the people we are going to honor. The mission of the 15 Dallas City Council members is not an easy one. On the one hand, they're expected to provide the services that provide a quality of life for this city that we want. But on the other hand, there are always more worthy causes than money, so they have to make some tough choices about how to spend our tax dollars. Council members may want to invest in better infrastructure and promote economic development, but the projects they're sometimes asked to consider can inspire some fierce opposition. That's why the philosophy and the personal integrity that our elected officials bring to this job is so very important. They're making decisions that will literally shape the future of Dallas for years to come. Today we're going to be inaugurating our new city council. The men and the women who have knowingly, or maybe not so knowingly, agreed to spend countless hours studying city plans, taking calls from some citizens who can get a little irritated at times, and attending community meetings that often stretch into the late hours of the night. It's all in an effort to find solutions that will move this city, Dallas, forward. But before we welcome our new council, we want to recognize the five individuals who are today ending their council duties at Dallas City Hall. Whether you've agreed with their decisions or sometimes disagreed, there's very little question that they've made some personal sacrifice in order to serve. Please welcome now the four-term councilwoman from District 2, Pauline Medrano. Ms. Medrano has served as mayor pro tem and in a national leadership role as chair of the National Association of Latino Elected and Appointed Officials. Colleagues say Ms. Medrano has worked tirelessly in her district, making neighborhoods safer, enhancing curb appeal, and creating more walkable areas. What most people don't know is that Ms. Medrano regularly patrols her district at all hours of the day, and she has entered more service requests herself than any other council member in recent history. She's joined today by Daniel Reyes, who she calls her longtime sweetheart. Also leading today, four-term council member from District 11, Linda Coop. Council colleagues say no one knows transportation issues better than Ms. Coop. She served as the chair of the Transportation and Environment Committee and is chair of the Regional Transportation Council. She's provided strategic guidance on many transportation issues and decisions over her past 8 years. Ms. Koop is joined today by her husband, Myron Koop. District 14 Councilmember Angela Hunt has served 4 terms at Dallas City Hall. Ms. Hunt's colleagues say she's worked hard to create and promote pedestrian-friendly areas and create bike lanes throughout the city of Dallas. She has also advocated for more trails throughout the city and connecting the trails into a transportation system. Ms. Hunt is joined today by her husband, Paul Sims. The council today is also saying goodbye to Ann Margolin, who has served District 13 for 2 terms. Ms. Margolin was chair of the Arts, Culture, and Library Committee. She's recognized by colleagues for bringing business acumen to Dallas City Hall and for tackling some of the really complicated projects. Council members say she was often the calm before the storm and seriously undertook the mission of providing a small-town feel to the many neighborhoods in her district and across the city. Ms. Margolin is joined today by her son, Richard. Delia Hosso is also leaving the council after 2 terms of service for District 1. Council members credit Ms. Hosso with reducing crime in her district and with sparking economic development opportunities, especially in Bishop Gardens. She was a strong advocate of a streetcar connection between downtown and Oak Cliff. Ms. Hosso organized events to give graffiti the brush. She got children involved in the project to help create a mascot, Gina the Graffiti Fighting Giraffe. Ms. Hosso is joined today by her husband, Judge Juan Hosso. Please join me now in thanking these 5 outgoing council members for their time, service, and dedication to the city of Dallas. So now let's welcome the incoming Dallas City Council. Scott Briggs. Mr. Briggs is serving his 2nd term on the council in the newly redrawn District 1, and he is escorted by his wife, Mariana Briggs. Adam Medrano. Mr. Medrano is the newly elected representative for District 2, and he's joined today by his mother, Socorro Medrano. Vonfield Jones Hill. Judge Hill is serving her 4th term on the council in newly redrawn District 3. She's escorted today by her husband, Charles Edward Hill. Dwayne R. Caraway. Former Mayor Caraway is serving his last term as the representative of District 4. And Mr. Caraway is escorted by his wife, the Honorable Barbara Mallory Caraway. Rick Callahan. Rick Callahan is entering his 1st term today as the representative for District Number 5. And he is joined by his mother, Jane Callahan. Monica R. Alonso. Ms. Alonso is serving her 2nd term on the council representing District 6, and she's accompanied today by her daughter, Danica Maria Alonso de la Rosa. Carolyn R. Davis. Ms. Davis is serving her fourth term on the council representing District Number 7, and she is joined today by Tammy King. Now Atkins. Mr. Atkins. Mr. Atkins is serving his fourth term on the council, and he's representing, of course, District Number 8. He's joined today by his wife, Marcella Atkins. Sheffy A. Cadane, Jr. Mr. Cadane is serving his last term on the council representing District Number 9. He's accompanied by his wife, Debbie Cadane. Jerry R. Allen. Mr. Allen is serving his fourth and last term on council representing District Number 10. He's escorted today by his daughter, Christy Alley. Lee Kleinman. Mr. Kleinman is beginning his city council service representing District 11. He's joined by his wife, Lisa Umholt. Sandy Grayson. Ms. Grayson is serving her second term representing District 12. She's escorted today by her granddaughter, Samantha Grayson. Jennifer Staubach-Gates. Another new council member, Ms. Gates, is joining the city council, entering her first term representing District 13, and she's joined by her husband, John Gates. And representing District 14, another new council member, Philip Kingston. Accompanying Mr. Kingston is his wife, Melissa Kingston. At this time, please help me in welcoming our mayor, Mike Rawlings, who was elected in 2011, and joining him for today's ceremony is his wife, Nikki Rawlings. If the new council could please rise. Ladies and gentlemen, Mayor Rawlings, let's welcome the duly elected City Council for the City of Dallas. Now, if the audience will please stand for the invocation, which will be delivered by the Reverend Elsie Odom from St. Paul United Methodist Church.
Good morning. It is indeed an honor to be here to offer a prayer of invocation for this most honorable occasion. It is a serious time that we have gathered for, and it's a serious business that these council people and our mayor will be engaged in. So if you would please join me in prayer. O gracious and everlasting God, you Lord, who are our creator, you are our sustainer. You, Lord, who gives breath to each and every one of us. We thank you. We thank you, Lord, for this day that you've given us. We thank you that you have given us an opportunity to try again to get it right. We thank you, Lord, for the fact that we live in a place where we can freely choose who will govern us. We thank you. We pray now, Lord, for these elected officials. We pray that you would grant them commitment and clarity of purpose. We pray, Almighty God, that you would grant them wisdom and courage to govern fairly and justly. We ask, Lord, that you would cause them to work for justice and fairness for all the citizens of our community, in the north and in the south, in the east and in the west. We pray, God, that you would use these elected officials to give hope to those who sometimes feel hopeless. And so we ask this morning, Lord, that you would bless these proceedings and all who have gathered here. Pray, Lord, that you would bless these elected officials, particularly their families, and bless their work. And then, Lord, we ask that as we leave this place, filled with the joy of what appears to be our own accomplishments, pray, Lord, that you would keep us mindful that it is you who has the power, and only you deserve the glory. This we all ask and pray in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
And now if you please stay standing for the presentation of the colors. Cecilia Catholic School, Girl Scout Troop 115 will lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance. Please be seated. And please welcome now Mayor Wallings and City Manager Mary Soon.
Inaugurations are a very special time. It marks the passing of the torch from one council to the next. It's a time to gain new friends, to say goodbye, and to say welcome. It's an honor and a privilege to work with Dallas City Council. I have a really special situation. I have 15 bosses and work very closely with each and every one of them, and I can assure you that the people that are sitting on the stage in front of you love this city, work hard for their district and for the city, and are always striving to make it a better place to live, to raise your children, a better place to do your business, and a better place to call home. As five of them are leaving us today, we'd like to take the time to say thank you for the work they've done for our city. Mayor?
Thank you. And before we do, wasn't the Girl Scout troop wonderful? And the Turtle Creek Corral, you guys are the best. Fabulous. I got the honor to listen to them rehearse backstage in a very small room, and it's just the gorgeous voices. Today we get to say goodbye to some friends and associates that have helped us lead the city. First, I would like to introduce the Mayor Pro Tem, Pauline Medrano. From District 2, Pauline, who most recently served as Mayor Pro Tem, has been active and involved in many city council committees while holding various leadership roles. The chair of the Public Safety Committee, just named one. During her tenure as council member, she was instrumental in the passage of one of Dallas's largest bond packages and was forefront in the passage of both the non-smoking ordinance and the new animal ordinance, which has directly and positively impacted the city. Through her 8 years of service, Pauline, because of her dedication and passion for her district, has reported, as you heard, 5,000 Encore light outages and 7,500 service requests. I'm hearing that for record. On a personal note, one thing, yeah. Mary said, is it going to stop? It's probably not. On a personal note, one thing that Pauline did was to handle at a moment's notice when she needed to represent this city in a dignified and quality manner. The council all recognized it last week. Thank you so much, Ms. Pauline Medrano. Next, a lady who's become a good friend of mine, Angela Hunt. First elected. Yeah, please. You can clap anytime you want. First elected to the Dallas City Council as the youngest member, Angela brought youth to the council by energetically tackling many projects throughout the years as the representative of District 14. She was also an active participant of many committees, including sharing the quality of life. Angela has also sought to bring together a coalition of neighborhood residents and local leaders to reverse the decline of Lower Greenville Avenue. She's done a great job at that. Please, I agree. Just recently, she announced the groundbreaking of the Mockingbird Pedestrian Bridge and the Katy Trail. Her efforts have not gone unnoticed by the public in her work to revitalize downtown Dallas. Many of the pretty pictures you saw in the video today is noteworthy. In addition, she did this while she started a family. Angela's drive to bring a high quality of life to all the citizens of Dallas while having two children and being a great mother and a wife will sorely be missed. Angela Cooper. Thank you. Third, a lady I don't know what we're going to do without, Linda Coop. Linda has served the city of Dallas in many capacities, including four consecutive terms on the Dallas City Council representing District 11. Linda has shown her environmental dedication and her expertise by serving as president of the North Central Texas Council of Government, Regional Transportation Council, and actively participating in many committees and coalitions. She has supported numerous transformative and beneficial projects. Her efforts have not gone unnoticed. She has been recognized by the North Texas Commission, the National League of Cities, Women in Transportation, the Conference of Minority Transportation Officials. She is Miss Transportation. Because of her many years serving as DART and Transportation Chair, Linda was my expert on those issues, and I hope she does not go far, and we will continue to use her as she serves the city on these issues. Thank you, Linda. My City Councilwoman, Ann Margolin. Representing District 13, Ann has tirelessly worked towards improving the lives both in her district and her city of Dallas by working to strengthen the relationship between citizens and city officials and services. Her work in Victory Meadow neighborhood is really especially notable. Folks think that District 13 is just people of a certain income. In the Victory Meadow, some of the toughest economic situations fall on those people, and Ann was a champion of them. Her participation on various committees, Ann has also worked to cultivate and bolster the arts within the city of Dallas by serving as the chairperson of the Arts, Culture, and Libraries Committee, a real library advocate as well. She was the organizer of the Mayor's Business Arts Initiative and corporate partners for the Dallas Public Library. When I created the Arts, Library, and Culture Committee, she did not hesitate when I asked her to chair it. District 13 and my household will miss her hard work and her thoughtful leadership. Ann Margolin. Delia Hopso. She is Miss Oak Cliff because she's a lifetime resident of it. She has served two terms as the representative of District 1. She has been active on many different committees in addition to participating in leading roles on the Domestic Violence Task Force, the Dallas Loves Animal Task Force, the LGBT Task Force, and Destination Dallas Task Force. She has also initiated a citywide effort to combat graffiti, which she's done a fabulous job at. During her term, Delia has led great efforts to bring economic development to North Oak Cliff. I worked carefully and especially on Jefferson Boulevard with her, where her work is excellent. Her leadership has not been overlooked, and she has earned various awards, most recently being named as one of the 2013's most powerful and influential women in Texas by the National Diversity Council. In Grow South, she's helped me learn about Oak Cliff and everything in southern Dallas. Delia has assisted in this effort by bringing stakeholders and neighborhoods together to work through how we get things done. On behalf of Dallas City Council, thank you for your work, Delia. Appreciate it. Now, if you haven't noticed, these were all women. Our council will miss this degree of feminine leadership. It was the council with the most women council members in history. This was a historic moment for the city of Dallas. As well, we have lost significant senior Latino leadership that will be difficult to replace, but we're going to work on it. I can't thank these folks enough for their commitment to the city. They have spent the last years of their lives at City Hall working for their neighborhoods as council members. Thank you very much to you, the council. Now, today I can't go without acknowledging another person, and that is our city manager, Mary Soon. This will be her last inauguration as city manager, but we've talked her into staying till the end of the year to help us on important projects. She'll be handing over the baton to A.C. Gonzalez, which we'll be looking forward to working with. She has been with the city for 35 years, and much of what you see today in Dallas has her fingerprints on it. She will be missed, but forever remembered for being a part of making Dallas great. And ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you my personal view. With all the mayors and all the city council people she has worked for, she says, there's not one individual that has made a more important difference to the city of Dallas in the last 15 years than Miss Mary Soon. Turning their attention to our newly elected council, City Secretary Rosa Rios is joining me, and she will present the duly elected council with the official certificates of election. Let's begin with Scott Gregg. Scott? Mr. Gregg is entering his second term in council, moving from District 3 to District 1. He has enthusiastically championed bike lanes and promoted the connectivity to the city's trail system, as well as an advocate for the residents of group homes throughout our city. Please, let's give Scott Gregg a great round of appreciation for his hard work. Next is Adam Madrano. Having served on the Dallas ISD school board and worked, he's been a Dallas ISD school board and worked at the Dallas Parks Department, we expect Adam to hit the ground running for our citizens. Adam Madrano is one of five newly elected representatives to the Dallas City Council. Vonsteel Joneshill. Judge Hill is serving her last term on council in new District 3. She has created trash attack events to clean up neighborhoods and successful neighborhood festivals, as well as championed the Trinity River Corridor Project. Importantly, she headed our city's legislative advocacy effort and is a close advisor to many on the council, especially me. Thank you very much. Thank you. Mr. Caraway, come on down.
Do
Duane R. Caraway. Mr. Caraway enters his last term on council, having served in leadership roles as a mayor for 4 months. So thank you for that. He has focused his time improving District 4 one block at a time, knocking down drug houses and investing in our youth. This man makes change happen. He's organized dozens of teen summits. He really has. And as I read this morning, maybe the most charismatic of us all. Next, the new councilman, Rick Callahan. Mr. Callahan brings his first term of office today as a freshman member representing District 5. Ladies and gentlemen, Pleasant Grove now has its first dedicated council member. This neighborhood was the beginning for so many native Dallasites, and Rick's job is to get the city's focus and the growth that it deserves. So it's great to have you on board. Next, Monica R. Alonzo. Besides being a Girl Scout troop leader of Troop 115, as you saw this morning, she returns to Dallas City Council for her second term, serving District 6, which covers West Dallas, a hot spot for development with cool and hip things happening all over the place. Everyone wants to be near the Margaret Huntel Bridge. Thank you for your leadership, Ms. Alonzo. Ms. Carolyn R. Davis. Ms. Davis enters her last term representing District Number 7. She shared for me the important housing committee for the last 2 years. Ms. Davis has worked hard to bring development in her area. With the success of Bear Street development, I expect that same advocacy for the Fair Park area as well. Importantly, her leadership in the SM Wright Project will be a game changer not only for South Dallas, but for the whole city. Thank you, Ms. Davis. Mr. Tanel Atkins. Mr. Atkins enters his last term in office after serving in leadership roles in the council. He has worked hard to bring development to the important inland port and recently opened the Great Trinity Forest Gateway. He was also the chair of the economic development. He knows business. He sells Dallas well and has been deputy mayor pro tem. Sheffield A. Cadane, Jr. Mr. Cadane, or Sheffy, as he's known, is serving his last term as well, representing the people of District 9. He has championed some of the city's greatest assets, White Rock Lake, a wonderful arboretum, the most popular dog park in the city. His citizens love him for his ability to listen to all their concerns and act on them. Congratulations, Mr. Cadane. Mr. Jerry Allen.
You're going to say that? We'll come to you.
Besides being a great basketball player that doesn't know his age, He's returning for one more term at the council and has served in leadership position on the Budget, Finance, and Audit Committee. He created the Bank on Dallas program and worked hard to protect the asset for it. He is also the biggest fan and the biggest Lake Highlands Wildcat there is. So come on. Played a pickup basketball game with a fifth grader, he told me, okay? And that's what happens. A new member of the council, Mr. Lee Kleinman. Mr. Kleinman is no stranger to City Hall, having served on the park board. I got to serve with him. Is a new member of the council representing District 11. He is an avid advocate for the biker, for strong neighborhoods, and the important things in the city of Dallas. It's great to have you on board, Lee.
Thank you very much.
Sandy Grayson. Ms. Grayson enters her second term on the council, this time around. She is loved by her district, and she got elected again. It's always neighborhoods first for Ms. Grayson, and she is some of the best neighborhoods in Dallas, and I understand why. She's no stranger to City Hall, having served District 12 before. She's focused on important things throughout the city, and also the small things, like good, drivable alleys for her city. Thank you very much, Sandy.
Thank you.
Jennifer Staubach Gates. Ms. Staubach Gates is another new council member and is proud to serve the residents that live in District 13. My new councilwoman, I expect she will continue the sustainable growth in our neighborhood and continue to understand the importance of the big picture as well. Ms. Jennifer Staubach Gates. Kingston. He rounds out the 2013-2015 Dallas City Council and the new elected representative of District 14. Another long-term advocate for strong neighborhoods. Philip rounds out a council, as you can see, that are focused on the basics for our citizens in Dallas. Thank you for serving, Philip. Congratulations to each of you. I look forward to working with you in the next 2 years. There is much work to be done.
Thank you, Mayor, and congratulations to our new council. And now for another very big treat. To perform a special tribute to both our previous council and the new council is violinist Eleanor Dunbar, who is just 17, that has already finished her first year at SMU, majoring in violin performance. Please welcome her. Thank you. City Council inauguration could be so inspiring. An amazing performance by Eleanor Dunbar. Thank you so very much. Truly beautiful and inspiring. And now the Honorable Daniel Solis, Administrative Judge for the City of Dallas Municipal Courts, will administer the oath of office to the City Council. And we also want to welcome our other municipal judges who are joining us today and sitting down front. Judge Solis.
Please rise and raise your right hand. I state your name. Do solemnly swear or affirm that I will faithfully execute the duties of the office of council member for district of the state of Texas. And I will, to the best of my ability, preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution and laws of the United States and of this state. So help me God. Congratulations.
Thank you, Judge. And ladies and gentlemen, I now present the Honorable Mike Rawlings, Mayor of the City of Dallas.
Thank you. It was 2 years ago that I took my oath, and in the preceding 2 years in Dallas, some would say that we have seen some of Charles Dickens' so-called best of times. The city has grown in most every way. Real estate value, job growth, new businesses starting up. We understand that our healthy commerce is the result of good policies, and in return, that commerce must feed back into the social enterprise loop to strengthen the other initiatives that make our city great. I know I speak for the new council members, the council members leaving, and the council members staying, that we are honored to serve you, the citizens of Dallas, to work on those policies in these times. Now, as mayor and as a council, we try to mix our vision with the will of the majority, never turning a deaf ear to those who are in the minority. It is with that cacophony of democracy we govern the city of Dallas. Hopefully that cacophony turns into harmonic growth and opportunity for all. During my tenure as mayor, I have tried to focus on three things. The growth of Southern Dallas, the improvement of public education for all of our Dallas children, and the important role the arts, artists, culture, architecture, and green space play in making us a city in which we can be proud. Today is not a complete update on each of those initiatives, but the headline is that we are making progress on each of these, and we must stay focused until our goals are achieved. First, expectantly, in Southern Dallas, it's slower than I would like, but one can see real change with numerous groundbreakings, ribbon cuttings every week, and positive neighborhood transitions in an area that seemed to be in a coma for decades. This part of town is now conscious, coherent, planning, moving, and we can steal a quote from Mel Brooks' comedy classic, Young Frankenstein, when we talk at Southern Dallas and say, "He's alive!" We must continue our hard work in each initiative so we can grow south. Secondly, education at DISD is changing as well. We have a board of trustees unified about that major change needs to take place and has the willpower to reform and not do it incrementally. And while I know that community communication about DISD is important and many still don't understand exactly what is happening, I'm happy to report from my discussion that we as a city are united around demanding a better education product for each and every one of our students. No one argues with that. We must realize that education, though, doesn't start in the morning when the school bell rings. And that's where we as a city council must do a better job. That we must push harder and faster in the neighborhoods where poverty is high and the children do not have the family structures they need and they want. I call on our city management and our council to find ways to focus our resources to the parts of town that have the worst performing schools. What can we do to establish a neighborhood foundation of support that prepares our children for school, not hold them back? What we do with children from pre-K and the first to the third grade must be one of those strategies. Kids need to be reading at grade level by third grade or they don't catch up. Did you know that there are 5,000 pre-K children that could go to school full-time in Dallas but don't because their parents aren't aware of the opportunities or because of space constraints? I'm pleased to see substantial ideas from Commit on that front guiding us to tell us what needs to be done. They will be helping test programs as early as this fall in parts of Southern Dallas. Lastly, Our city is engaged in many conversations, and they're exciting, around making our surrounding environment a place that lifts us up, attracts new residents, attracts new visitors to our city. I hope you caught that spirit in the video you saw this morning. The openings of the Dallas City Performance Hall, Clyde Warren Park, the Perot Museum of Nature and Science, Belo Garden, the Margaret Hunt Hill Bridge have completed a string of pearls this last couple of years the rest of the world hasn't seen the likes of and wants to emulate. In fact, in Hong Kong's West Kowloon, they are using our experience as their guide to build an art district. The selection of Dallas as the site of the world's new city summit next summer is a testament to our international reputation that is growing. Our city's focus on building cultural environments will be as important as the building of DFW Airport in the long run, I believe. No city in America has made more change over this time period as the city of Dallas has. So congratulations to all who worked on this effort, and congratulations on the wonderful results. Meanwhile, in the last 2 years, I've made some discoveries. For some in Charles Dickens, it was the worst of times. I have realized that we have, for instance, a serious mental illness epidemic in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. We are under-resourced, and it is the root cause of many of our social issues that we face. Mental illness raises its ugly head and results in teen suicide, homelessness, the breakup of the family, and just what we spoke about, our education performance. This is true especially in high-poverty areas, where the stigma of mental illness is even greater than some of the other areas. Destigmatizing this issue, talking about it, getting those that need help the help they need is very important. Now, a close cousin of mental illness is domestic violence, which I discovered the severity of this year as well. I appreciate Ms. Hasso's help in educating me on this. While mental health is never an excuse for abuse, there's something terribly wrong when I see we as men, how we treat the women in our city. Women are being beaten and killed every day and every week. That is why I have called for a culture change throughout all parts of our city to say real men don't strike women. There are other heartbreaks around our city as well. There are those with no jobs, little health care, that have lost hope. Now, access to affordable health care is a big problem in this country. And it is critical to the well-being of our citizens and our city. Texas has the highest uninsured rate in this country, with about 600,000 uninsured right here in Dallas County. So it's a big concern for us, for me. As the Affordable Health Care Act is rolled out, two things will happen. First, those currently without insurance will be provided an opportunity to find affordable coverage through a health insurance marketplace exchange. For those below the poverty level, this will be free. Second, everyone will be required to have a health insurance. So it is critical that we get the word out to ensure that all of our residents, especially those that are below the poverty level, get covered. It's a big opportunity for them. We have to get the word out. I have already begun working with the Federal Health and Human Services Regional Office. We've talked about this with the county. This must be a big issue, and we are creating a Dallas Area Stakeholders Group headed at the city level by Council Member Monica Alonzo to reach out to as many uninsured as possible in Dallas County. Now, I know that there are those who are adamantly opposed to the Affordable Care Act, including our governor. but it is the law of the land. And regardless of what is being said in Austin, I'm asking all of you to join me in reaching out to the community to get our uninsured residents the health insurance they need and they deserve. It's the right thing to do for Dallas. It is our job to discover how we can help those facing the worst of times. And in doing so, it presented another surprise I discovered in Dallas. Well, it wasn't a total shock, but I didn't really understand the depth and the breadth of this phenomenon. That private citizens, day in and day out, understand that we have serious needs in our community and are passionately working on them. I know I'm preaching to the choir right now, but I believe there is not a city in the nation that is more generous with both their time and their money than Dallas, Texas. Whether I see it with the wealthy, I see it with the not so wealthy. I see it with the young, I see it with the old. In all parts of our city, I see it every day. People giving back to each other. Saturday is my work day. Every Saturday, I see it when companies build homes. Thousands walk to protect our newborns or fight heart disease. To enlisting in leadership classes like Leadership DISD or Leadership Dallas. To tutoring children in our elementary schools. To giving hundreds of millions of dollars to build an arts district, parks, or museums. This generosity is truly amazing. I don't go to a party or a dinner anymore without someone talking about how they've gotten involved in our city. It's cool now to do it. And it's exciting. According to the Chronicle of Philanthropy, Dallas-Fort Worth is one of the most generous metro areas in the country. I'm going to ask you, if you're not involved in giving back in some way, and you're sitting on the sidelines, you are missing the best part of life. Examine your heart, because I know you could do better. There's much to be done in our libraries and our arts with our animal population and other initiatives. Get on board. This is a key strategic asset for the city with which we are blessed. It is an example of what is special about the soul and the spirit of Dallas, Texas. Now, while the needs of the city are many, ensuring we stay focused on the three major strategies is critical. But I'm adding one other premier initiative to those three for my work in the coming years. We must be perceived, and we must take our rightful place on the global stage. The international marketplace will have a force in our city for the good or for the bad. I don't want to be passed by. I vote for the good. Most of our large companies have to compete globally. We must as well. I believe we can compete with any city. Let me remind you, people don't realize this, Dallas-Fort Worth is the fourth largest market in the United States. New York, LA area, Chicago area, and Dallas-Fort Worth. And we're the fastest growing. Our location makes us perfect as a commercial hub for the Western Hemisphere. A non-stop to either coast in 3 hours. A non-stop from Asia. A non-stop to the Middle East. A non-stop to South America. Makes us a natural gateway for trade and for traveler connection. This is exactly what Dubai is doing right now in the Middle East. Trying to be the hub for the Eastern Hemisphere. But we have to do more than just be on the map, literally and figuratively. We must shape perceptions of our legitimacy and compete more effectively. Three illegitimate cities could vie for this role, Miami, Houston, Atlanta. They could do it. Why not us? How do we do it? A two-part strategy. One, partner with Fort Worth, not compete against them. For the first time, the mayor of Fort Worth, Betsy Price, and the mayor of Dallas both see that if one of us wins, we both win. Fort Worth's attraction of Motorola manufacturing plant in North Fort Worth and L'Oreal's choice for a distribution center in southern Dallas are proof that we're on the map, and we both won in both cases. Companies are taking notice. Our short story is great, but it's greater when we work together. The second strategy is to make it easier for international travelers at DFW. People want to make it easy. We need to further increase our international nonstops, including a nonstop to mainland China in the next 2 years. A critical thing. We must bring back the transit visa program that our State Department stopped. We need to continue to build on our reputation as a true customer service airport for international travelers. We're fourth in the world. Let's even be better than that. And leverage a new and bigger American Airlines that will be flying to many of these international destinations. Our role on this globe will be relevant to every citizen in Dallas. Every citizen. It will all be impacted by it. That's why Thomas Jefferson High School has an intensive Chinese language program that rivals anyone's. And the Dallas Museum of Art is building a world-class Islamic art collection. We're a global city now. That's why we'll be making some announcements later this summer on how we in Dallas-Fort Worth should organize to accomplish this important goal. Now, lastly, every so often, we citizens need to ensure that our government process is working in the right manner. I have discovered some tweaks that I believe should be made to modify the Dallas City Charter. To that end, I will canvass our City Council on the issues they want to address in the City Charter Amendment as well. We will then form a Charter Commission in keeping with our City Charter, which calls for one by 2015. That commission will send recommendations back to the Council for our approval before we send them to the citizens for a vote in November 2014. One important issue that needs to be addressed is the redistricting process. We must minimize politics and maximize effectiveness to achieve racial representation with geographic tightness to keep our neighborhood integrity high. The process in 2011 was just frankly too messy and too political. It's a tricky process, but there's much we have learned that if we take action, we should make it easier for our elected officials when they do it again in 2021. Looking to the future, look, I'm pretty optimistic about things. I know at any time the bottom could fall out of the Dallas economy, but I don't think it will in the near term. I'm optimistic about our growth and our economic health in the next few years. But what keeps me up at night is the question, not what's going to happen next year, but will we be ready to compete 10 to 20 years from now? That's why we need to keep our eye on our long-term strategy of growing Southern Dallas, the most undeveloped part of our city for one. Second, the education of our next generation is paramount. Third, developing our reputation as a center for the arts and the culture. And lastly, learn to compete globally by partnering with our Metroplex cities. These can be successful strategies to create that long-term growth. My wonderful wife, Mickey, and I love Dallas. And our work is rewarded by citizens patting us on the back and cheering us on. Thank you very much for that. But in serving you, let us together focus on the long term and not just tomorrow or the issue of the day or the next shiny ball. Let us continue our tradition of greatness that flows from inclusiveness, excellence, and accountability to one another. God bless the city of Dallas. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor. I think you might have made a few newscasts with that. Thank you very much. We appreciate it. This has been a wonderful celebration today, and I want to thank the city for including KERA and myself. Now please welcome Father Rudy Garcia from the Cathedral of Guadalupe to deliver the benediction.
Let us invoke God's blessing. Almighty God, we are truly moved by today's reminder of how truly great is our city of Dallas. We are particularly moved by the generous, dedicated, and talented men and women of councils past and council present who have stepped forward to carry onward and upward the impressive work of the city. Bless all of us today, and in a special way our newly elected leaders, along with our mayor, as we go forward to our individual duties and responsibilities. May this celebration contribute to the resolve to do what we can in the measure that we can to be good, conscientious, hardworking citizens who endeavor to advance the great and the small issues of our time that affect the lives of so many of our brothers and sisters. Good and gracious God, we ask you to bless with your care, protection, and guidance those who, through democratic and free process, we have entrusted with the care and the governance of the city. Grant them your spirit of wisdom, understanding, and right judgment as they lead our city into yet more prosperous, more tranquil, and joyful times. Grant them a clear and discerning mind, uncluttered by any selfish interest or motive, by which they may, in a disinterested way, judge all the matters placed before them. Grant them a firm will, by which they will, with conviction and fortitude, advance the common good over the particular good. But most of all, O God, grant them a caring and loving heart, by which they may demonstrate their affection to the citizens that they serve, but especially the most vulnerable and defenseless among us. Loving God, bless the beauty of the city we admire. Bless the freedom we enjoy. Bless the diversity we embrace. Bless those whose hard work and careful planning has made possible this beautiful inauguration. Bless our faithful leaders whose civic seal characterizes their work. Bless this amazing city, and may God continue to bless the United States of America. Amen.
Well, we're now at the end of our program, and it's time for our new council members to go to work. They're going to be holding their first council meeting this afternoon at 2 o'clock. And, of course, it's open, as all of them are, to the public. I want to mention that everyone here is also welcome to join the new council members in the lobby for a reception. And as we head that way, a special treat. We're going to be serenaded out by the Inner City All-Stars. Thanks to everyone for being a part of this inauguration today. Thank you.
Thank you.